Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio. Special Operations Military News and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Welcome to another episode of Soft Rep Radio. I am your host, Rad, and I am super excited today to introduce my next guest. But first, I have to kind of plug the merch store. You guys have been kicking butt buying our merch, our branded items from softrep.com. Keep doing it. We really appreciate it. It keeps me behind the camera, in front of the camera, on the side of the camera. It keeps the fireplace going. And then also, we have a book club, right? We're really passionate about our book club, and it's softrep.com/book-club. That's book-club. So I want you to go check it out. We're going to try to get our next guest and his book in our book club so that you can get it through the book club. And my next guest, without further ado, is Kevin Wilson, the author of Soli Squad. Welcome, Kevin, to the show.
Thank you, Rad. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you for your opportunity here.
Oh, totally. We're excited to have you. Now, I know this is not your first time, you know, playing around with SoftRep, getting on the website. There's some articles probably from back in the, you know, 2020, 2021 area where you were talking about Soli Squad. And I want to kind of touch base on Soli Squad. You know, it's kind of a book about someone who I think calls, you know, the just goes to the call of duty for himself, his country, and what is the right thing to do with Artie, who we're going to touch base on. And then, you know, it's all happening around, you know, Pearl Harbor and, you know, the Oahu, the attacks on Pearl Harbor from the Japanese. You know, World War II was kicking off and there was a lot of lives lost, a lot of young lives lost. And so with that said, Kevin, I'd like to just take a moment here, you know, of silence, if you don't mind. All right. And that is in respect of the lives lost during World War II on really both sides of the aisle. Okay. There were so many people who took up arms on both sides of what they thought was just and right. You know, someone living in a neighborhood in their country picking up a gun and us living in our country picking up a gun. I don't know the difference of patriotism there because they're both trying to do it for what they think is the right thing. But good and evil lurks, you know, and evil lurks even harder, sometimes looking like good. And so here we are talking about your book, Soli Squad, which focuses really on, you know, the call to action in World War II. And we follow the young man, Artie, through his journey, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, Artie was, it's funny, Brad, when it came time to write, and I'm not a writer, I'm not an author, you know, by trade. My background is a CPA background, and I've been in healthcare operations for almost 40 years. So I say that because there might be people listening out there who are afraid to take that first step, you know, at writing. So for myself, I basically wrote it in a month and learned the term rewrite multiple times, like your worst English teacher, just grading you an F continuously. And eventually, the person I was working with said, "What do you want to say?" And I said, "Well, I want young people," because this was probably 2017, 2018, 2019 timeframe, young people to honor those that have given so much and still give so much, honor the flag, and have something that's fast-paced, because whatever I write has to compete against video games. And so I basically came up with, they said, "Well, you should talk about young adults." And I go, "Well, what is that?" She goes, "YA. It's a genre. Look it up." So I looked it up and started writing, and I created a character named Artie. And there were stories throughout the years that I learned of young people that lied about their age and were able to get into service, mostly, again, in that World War II era, probably in World War I, maybe. So that's where I'm like, okay, I want someone to be the reader, have it told through his eyes, and be attached to his hip, and have Artie be a character who you could relate to. You know, everybody's been 15, 16, you know, that is an older person can relate to some of that. And somebody who's not yet there, maybe 14 or so, can kind of relate to that. And basically talk about, you know, the combination of, it's basically a typical kid, but the only difference is he's in combat. Simple things like, you know, you kind of have to go back in your own self when you write these things. And my favorite line in the story, which I made up, which I'm proud to say, is after he meets there's a girl in the story. After he meets her, he says something that he's like, "Why did I say that?" And he goes, "It's easier to fight the Nazis than it is to talk to a girl." So I think the combination of the combat attached to his hip with this, you talk about it, just basically an innocent kid when all is said and done. That's how Artie kind of materialized.
Right. And I like, you know, in some of it, you know, there's like an excerpt that I was reading about, and it talks about, you know, him and his family, and they're getting like a Christmas tree brought into the house. And, you know, you talk about how he takes the needle and he likes to floss his teeth with the needle from the pine tree as he's like, you know, it looks good over there, Dad or Mom. No, a little bit higher, you know, he's like flossing it with his tooth. And then all of a sudden on the radio, I believe, we interrupt this broadcast for a news bulletin, and it's like, it's Oahu. We are looking for Congress to declare war and give us authorization to go to war. We have been attacked in Pearl Harbor, and this is a blatant attack, and you can expect a retaliatory attack back to you for what you've done to us. And that's just tit for tat, right? Eye for an eye right now. So, and then all of a sudden, the radio goes back to, you know, drink your Ovaltine. Okay.
Yeah.
And his dad walks out hitting his pipe like, okay, we're going to war, right? He slams the door, goes outside, you know, hitting his pipe. He's like, I could just imagine. And then he's like, well, here I go. You know, it probably just sank in right there. Well, if dad's hitting his pipe, maybe I should go hit mine.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely. And it's the interesting thing is on that is, again, back to the child innocence. Those of us that live, you know, in the north and had school days, you know, called because of snow, you could, before 24/7 weather, you would look up in the clouds and see, ah, a little dark over there, a little chill in the air, the wind's a little picking up. Maybe we'll have no school tomorrow. So you can see, you know, the innocence, and then all of a sudden, as you very well said, bam, here comes the reality of life, and your life is changing. And not only his life, but that had to be one of the most, that changed so many people's lives. Not only the poor sailors who were killed at the time, but the families, and then look for the next number of years. And it just, you know, in my lifetime, you know, I can remember 9/11, and probably many of your listeners will remember that day. You know where you were, you know what you're doing that day. So I kind of equate that to someone who's 15 years old reading this story for the first time that is, you know, wasn't around for 9/11, but maybe has heard about it. Well, that was that generation's beyond equivalent of 9/11 and that wake up call, and life, you know, will never be the same. Whether you enlisted young or didn't.
Wow, you're deep, you know, because I'm thinking like, I remember I was a lot. So I'm 46, 9/11. Was my, I guess, big thing in my generation. Would you think that? Mm-hmm. Is that your big thing in your generation? How old are you?
I'm 62.
What was your big thing in your generation? Is it 9/11 also?
Probably. Well, it's, I mean, I grew up, you know, I was
Vietnam.
1.5 when Kennedy was shot.
Yes.
So I don't remember that. But I remember like growing up with Vietnam, because you'd be sitting there eating your meat and potatoes, so to speak. And on the TV was, whether it was Walter Cronkite or whomever you watched.
Dan Rather.
You know, and Dan Rather, he'd be out in the field at that time. And they would, and you're sitting there eating and you're seeing these guys, you know, at war. And it was, that's, you know, and then when I was in 1973, I remember this in fifth grade, celebrating the end of the war. And then the Challenger, I'm trying to go in order, the Challenger going down. I remember where I was there. And then I'm probably missing a couple, but then fast forward to 9/11.
Really, Challenger, Desert Storm, and then, you know.
Yeah, Desert
9/11.
Storm. 9/11. Yep, exactly.
I know there's a little like, you know, off-skirt skirmishes that happen all the time. But, you know, the next generation is the 15-year-old we're talking about, who will have to pick up the pieces from where we're leaving off, if you will. And guys my age are retiring or trying to stay in the military at 46 if they're high ranked already, you know, but most of the guys are out and about living a civilian life. So these youngsters should read your book. And if you're thinking about, you know, possibly getting in the military and you want to, you know, go check it out, go talk to a career counselor and see if somebody can point you in the right direction of what's best suited for you. Yes. You know, you may not have to lie about it like Artie did in World War II. We all saw a movie. I can't remember what it was called, but he has a big star on his shield. Anyways, he's like, I got to get in. I got to get in. And they're like, you're not getting in, kid. Yeah. And he's like, finally, 10th time later, he's in. You know, and the heart is bigger than anybody else's heart that was trying to get in. And he proved that and became the ultimate, you know, symbol of, you know, Captain America. And Artie seems to call that same vibe, you know, as he's going after it. Now, you go into a little bit more depth with him going into combat in the book, right, Artie?
Yeah, it starts out, it takes place in the Sicilian campaign. Mm-hmm. And it's, reason I chose Sicily is a late uncle of mine and a VFW post up in Granville, New York, which is, I have to give a shout out to Granville. It's on the border of Vermont and New York, and on East Main Street. You can stand in two states. That was always exciting as a kid. But it's a quarry town. So a lot of slate quarries and a lot of Italian immigrants came in, and they were sent up to Granville along with other nationalities. So my uncle, Salvatore Fringi, was born, and he was the oldest of five. And my mother, how I connect with him, my mother was the youngest of the five. So that's how I connect to Salvatore. Now, my grandparents Americanized his name and called him Sullivan, and he shortened it to Sully. That's how the Sully comes out. So Sully, in the story, is a sergeant. He's nonfiction because he actually existed. I use a different last name, but he actually he exists as a sergeant. And he was in World War II, in the Big Red One, as a combat engineer. But in the story, he's in an infantry squad. He's a sergeant of an infantry squad. And he was in North Africa, and he was killed in action in Sicily. So that's why I chose Sicily to have the story. And I don't know about you, Rad, but I always watched World War II, and I still do, whether it's YouTube, World at War, you know, World War II in color, whatever you call it. And so the Sicilian campaign, they talk about it, but they never got into the weather. And they actually landed on, you know, in July of 1943 in a gale storm in the middle of the night. And so I'm thinking, you know, so it starts out with them on the deck. So it immediately gets into some action. And then, you know, maybe some of your listeners did this, but I'm like, then you got 90 pounds on you, you pack. You probably weigh 140 pounds soaking wet. And you're then having to climb down these wet ropes or whatever they were into this landing craft. So I start out with actually getting to that level of detail, because I think it gets lost when you watch the shows. It's like, obviously these guys land on the beach and hey, but you know what they went through to even survive to get to the beach. And then, oh, by the way, there they are, you know, the enemy on the ground. You've had the enemy in the air, you know, you've been facing. So it's incredible what these men, in my opinion, went through. And then, the utmost, you know, respect that, you know, I'm hoping when a reader gets out of this is not only entertained by the action, but also stepping back and realizing it's a brotherhood. And I know the Band of Brothers was tremendous. There's, you know, so I give them the credit. I give everybody else the credit in the documentaries where when they would talk about their fellow brethren, you know, whether it was, you know, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, you know, Desert Storm, as you mentioned, Afghanistan, you were protecting that guy next to you. And that's what I hope the reader gets out of this. Yeah, they horse around, they have a little fun. I mean, they're kids. You know, when all said and done, they're kids. But when the light turns on and all of a sudden it happens, you know, some are ready for I don't know how you're ever ready, but some are more ready than others. And there's also where you got to help, you got to help the guy next to you. You know, simple thing like loading his gun. I mean, everybody takes that for granted. You're like, oh yeah, I got to load my, but when you're under fire,
yeah, it's like right.
Having to load a gun.
Right. Reloading gets you killed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, taking it through with the book and the combat and the brotherhood. I think the other point is it was a squad. And with flashbacks, you try to get the characters in a short time to be known to the reader. And I think, you know, it was a lot of work. And the term show me, don't tell me was something I constantly heard from the person who edited the story. Because as I said earlier, my background is business. So business is get to the point. What's going on? In one page, I don't have time to read. Tell me what's going on. Well, when you write a novel, it's the opposite. Describe everything. Describe the imagery. What's going through the mind of the character? You know, and it's like, and for me, it was rather than say, you know, already walked down the street, you know, I had to describe the street, describe his walk, what was, you know, all the, you know, all your senses. That was hard initially for me to do. And that's why you get five or six rewrites because I had to work on it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, that's really good insight into what you're, you know, how you wrote the book and how you had to, you know, present it. You're just writing, you're just probably typing away, just going to town, and you're showing, and he wants to be shown it in his mind. He wants his imagination to show it to him, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So if you're going to write a book and start hitting the keys, you should think, you know, show in our mind. Like, I remember my dad would go and read so many Tom Clancy books, and he was really, you know, down with The Hunt for Red October, and then it came out on a movie. Yeah, I remember that back in like 1989, 1990s. And as much as he liked the movie, he said, oh, it was good, but it wasn't like the book. It wasn't what I anticipated the book to be, because he was shown something completely different when he read it. You know, and again, it's an interpretation. If I was to take your book and get your rights and make it into a movie, it's how I was shown it,
mm-hmm.
per se, by your writing. I love that analogy of it. So when I write a book, I'm just going to pull some Kevin Wilson, some of your thoughts in there. You know, no sweat. Show.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there something about possibly getting picked up? Have you talked to any studios or anything about Sully Squad? I mean, sounds like a good angle of a direction of the movie, of World War II.
Well, I don't know anyone, and I've had friends that they know someone who's in Hollywood or whomever, and I said, okay, sure, here's a copy, send it out and see what happens. But it actually, I guess one of the biggest compliments that I heard from someone was it reads like a screenplay. So because of the flow, I wanted to make sure you're flowing along. I mean, yeah, there's some slower points. I mean, you can't be landing on a beach for 150 pages. You know, there's got to be some, you know, creative, you know, writing about the character and stuff like that. Because, you know, obviously that everybody doesn't live.
Yeah,
if you're in a squad.
Every step is described on each page as he pulls the Bangalores, explained on every single page. I can only imagine.
Exactly.
150 pages of like one scene. It's like the TV series 24 with Kiefer Sutherland, where it's just constantly 24 hours. He has to wear the same clothes over and over again for years and seasons.
So I think one of the, you know, the back, having to do the flashbacks and things of that nature, which actually that's how you build the characters. And it kind of ties in already, like, you know, like I'm sure there's people like, who would allow a kid to just walk in, you know, do that? You know, and again, it's fiction. The historical part is true. The Sicilian campaign, where they landed, the cities they fought, some of the battles, etc. But you know, the character, except for my uncle, they're all made up. So with Artie, it's also a coming of age movie. I mean, he's 15 years old. Him and his father don't get along all the time. I mean, I think we all can kind of, you know, relate to that, you know, and you sometimes, why's dad act like that?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on with him? you know, and what he didn't know was some of the issues he had from World War One.
Oh, right.
That caused him to behave in a certain way. And it took him to be 3,000 miles, so to speak, away in a letter to kind of understand his father more than when he's like in the same house, which, you know,
Immediately when he hits his pipe in the scene, when I'm reading it, he hits his pipe and he goes outside to hit his pipe. I automatically think, oh, he's already a veteran of the previous war. And he's like, great, here we go again.
Right.
I immediately think that. And I just want you to know, I'm just reading, you're showing me that by him seeing his father go outside, shutting the back door, going to his pipe. Is just like, all right, dad's just heard that, you know, the U.S. has been attacked. And that's honestly,
and dad's going to,
I can relate. You know why? Because my dad came up on 9/11 into my room and it's like, hey, you know, my dad was in Vietnam and he's like, oh, hey, Aaron, turn the TV on. And, it was a tower one. And then the second one hit right at like 8 something in the morning and we were watching it and he looked at me and he's like, we're under attack. And he and my mom kind of just watched for a second. He got up and he walked away because he understands what that means.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten out of the Air Force. Yep. And so I get it. It's like, okay, what's going on here? You know, like, you know.
Well, something interesting tying to that. So my uncle, he enlisted in 1938, towards the end of 1938. And I had the privilege, because around that time frame of 1998, 1999, the internet was very new. And I had the privilege of actually communicating with men who were still alive, who knew him. Well, one of the things that was always interesting with my uncle is he was due to be discharged December 8th, 1941.
Oh, wow.
And so I was able, one of the few things I heard, the family never talked about it. You know, I'd see pictures of this man on the wall in my house. So my grandmother was still alive. We lived with my grandmother. She was, I was very young and she said I resembled him, and that planted because I have a cleft, and I actually look this. I look the. I look very much like
resemblance him, is know, there.
Resemblance is there, but not at 62. But still, some people, say, yeah, I could see it. I have a high school picture next to him, but this gentleman was saying, I would ask, what was his personality? How was he? Said, well, he's pretty mild mannered except for one day. I said, he was discharged. They let him go December 6th, the afternoon. So he had taken off. No one knew he was in the States because the war wasn't yet, had started. No one knew where he was going, but he was gone. He was done with the army. He said on December 8th, when he came back, he was extremely unhappy. And obviously, you're a sergeant, you're a combat engineer. He would have had to come back anyway. But it just shows the interesting that he probably wasn't the only one that was.
Is it Pearl Harbor on December 7th?
December 7th, yeah.
Right. So that's the thing that we're hitting on here is December 7th. He takes off December 6th. He's like, I'm out. Peace out. Okay, everybody.
Yeah.
And little does he know, the airplanes are in the sky.
Yeah. Exactly. And
they're launching.
And so that's kind of weird.
It was a dawn raid, I believe. Like when they came in early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Early morning.
Early.
Everybody was like kind of off.
Maybe 6 a.m. Hawaiian time.
Exactly.
So probably noon around here.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where the father, in the story, he's a World War One veteran. And I don't want to say too much, obviously.
Right.
But
the book, but for sure.
He has some, he's affected by it.
Yeah.
And my uncle, my grandfather, who came over, on the boat, so to speak, from Italy, he ended up having to serve in World War One. He died of a heart attack in 1935 when Sully was 17.
Oh.
Yeah, he died in the house. So that's one of the reasons that drove him into the military, into the army to make some money so he could also send money home, which he did. For 3 years, he would send money home to the family because his mother, and he had four other siblings that were younger. But the father, there's some definitely some learning that Artie received while not being in the same house with his father, but being 3,000 miles away.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and at that time, so he got in at 15, right? This is what we're talking about. So he does get in at 15. Yeah, yeah. 15, let's think. My son's 15 right now. And he's really good at Minecraft. So if somebody needs a mayor of a city, he could probably pull that off just fine. I'm thinking, what would he be enlisting as? You know what I'm saying? Like, is he ready to do such things? And then there's a lot of that talk right now going on where, you know, are the kids still doing PE in school and trying to, you know, almost stay, you know, fit, you know, some of the Boy Scouts, you know, it kind of like dissipates away and falls into the cracks, and there's still some little pockets of Boy Scouts being happening, but not like it was, you know, not like it was, you know, and, you know, some of those folks are still trying to keep that going so that there's that kind of, you know, how to start a fire, how to set up a tent, how to just procure food, how to clean drink water, fix yourself, you know, simple things, survival in the woods, you know, yeah, Artie wasn't soft.
No, but yeah, he loved baseball, you know, and that was kind of the one of the connections he made with a friend of his called Coney. Everybody seemed to have a nickname, you know, so I made nicknames, you know, for all of them. And baseball was his first love, but you know, he wasn't like most of us, you know, thank God we're going to make it to the major leagues, or whether it's in baseball or whatever sport or acting or music. And the reality sets in when you get a certain age where others are better than you, or you're not. Yeah, you're just, yeah, I think you need to find something else.
I still think I can go pro in something. And if it's baseball, that would be my first love. And I think that's why I like Artie so much. Now that you say that, you know, because I love baseball. First base is my position. Yeah. And, you know, for 16 years I played thinking I'm a college pro, all this stuff. That all, my own choice, though. I know the steps that I could have kept going, and I took other steps, and that was my own fault.
Yep.
Jeez, yeah.
Me too. Not necessarily to make pro, but college or something.
Sure.
Definitely, you know, didn't you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you got to get dust yourself up, get back up again. Yeah. You know, you get cut. You're not used to being cut. Well, put your big boy pants on. Get back out there, work harder, you know, make them regret. But, you know, you don't think about that, you know, when you're that age. And that's where Artie, you know, is kind of like some of the mistakes I made. He doesn't make those mistakes because right. I made them up, you know. There is a girl in the story about the same age, Angelina, and she's a postulant. I didn't want to do a nurse because it seems like there's a lot of, you know, the soldier and the nurse, that kind of stories. So she's
a postulant. I'm sorry. I don't mean to know everything.
I call in a book, and it's probably the easiest way. It's a nun in training.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're kind of, I mean, I'm sorry.
Like getting ready to enroll in the nunnery.
My religious sure. training and from catechism and stuff, but it's the easiest way to describe it. It's someone who's interested mm-hmm. in possibly, the religious life, and you're young and you start as a postulant to see if it's for you until you commit further. So she's at an orphanage, which is part of a church in one of the towns, and that's how they meet. And he ends up, you know, in some manner, in through the combat, through the fighting, to find his way back every now and then, because she's, you know, she also supports a mobile hospice, so kind of like a MASH unit kind of thing, because she's a postulant, you know. So they do whatever they're not a nurse, but they can, you know.
The bulls clean of everything, help prep, get it all squared away, help out, be right there, the right hand for somebody. They could stitch you.
Exactly.
She could. Yeah.
So and it's kind of a little bantering, you know. There's no sex, there's nothing, you know, in the story. It's just innocence, and I'll leave it at that because, again, I don't want to tell too much.
Right.
But it's just again a shy kid. She's shy. And kind of their interactions in a place of that's falling apart all around.
Well, there is no more innocence.
Right. Exactly.
Right. War. Right. Like what that changes somebody. Yeah. I've seen it in friends, and you know, friends have gone and come home after a year and a half, and they're just, hey, I'm like, you're moving so fast in your head still, aren't you? That's why we're still sitting here playing the same video game that you just left us a year and a half ago. But you've moved so fast, bro. You know, I'm thinking of a certain friend, and he just sat there, and he was just kind of – it's like we stalled him in life. We were slow. His friendship with us was slow. He had moved, and he had gone into the military. They had groomed him into this, you know, military person, and he went and did his job, and he came back, and he's like, I've moved so fast. You know, you guys are still like molasses.
It was like when I talked to, you know, the gentlemen who were, you know, had served with my uncle. One of them was a lieutenant. Well, let me jump back just to one. It was 1998. No one ever talked about anything rad. I mean, so this was 55 years after he passed away, was killed in action. There was a reunion, 55th anniversary at the VFW in Granville, New York. And that was in October. So a month later at Thanksgiving, my aunt, who never, I'd mention his name, she'd start crying, all of a sudden said, well, we started talking out of the blue about her brother. And she said, I think so-and-so was with him when he died. And I said, so-and-so, is that, I think I know his son. So fast forward, I contacted his son. I go, it's kind of going to be kind of weird. I think your father was with my uncle when he was killed. And so he talks to his father, brings him. We go to a restaurant, and it's one of those restaurants for lunch. They have like 55 items in their menu. He can't figure out the menu. You know, he's probably in his 80s, early 80s. I have my little questions written down. He looks me in the eye, goes, I'm sure you want to know how he died. You know, right to the chase. And how my uncle was killed is in the story. He doesn't die in the story. I told my aunt he'll never die again, you know, when I was writing it. But he went right back to that period of time. And then he was describing what was going on. And then he went back, and they ended up, you know, they would bury anybody who was killed. They would bury you in a shallow grave and move on. And so that was, say, July 21st, 1943. His remains didn't come back to 1948. So, you know, 5 years later, when you think of all, because again, you're in a shallow grave somewhere in Sicily.
War.
You know, and you think of how many. And so I talked to this lieutenant who was the lieutenant for the squad, or like for my uncle was in. And he said, and he was, I could feel him like getting a, you know, a lump in his throat. And this is, again, we're talking 55, 50, almost 60 years later.
Yeah, he's 82, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then so this next gentleman I was talking to, you know, the lieutenant was on the phone, and I could feel him like kind of like almost, you know, tearful. And he goes, please tell your family that, you know, we neutralized the battery that killed your uncle. So back to the war comment, you know, that you made, Rad. You know, and I say this, you know, when I speak to schools, or no one wins. Mm-hmm. Who won in that story?
Just
you said earlier, on both sides, we prayed for both sides. I'm not talking the SS. I'm not talking the fanaticals. No. The average German soldier, just like the average American soldier, was just doing their
job. That's it. For what they believed in their patriot, what they were told, what they
exactly. Yes. And they paid their, you know, they paid their, they died.
They died. You know, the ultimate sacrifice.
All said and done, they were doing their job. My uncle was doing his job. And no one won. No one came out alive in that example.
And you know,
other guys.
Like you touched on earlier, they're fighting for their friend on their side too. Just like we're fighting for our friend on our side. And it's like, you know, there was that time where it got all quiet, you know, for Christmas during the war. Everybody kind of had like a little bit of a makeshift armistice right there. They were like,
yeah,
are we cool? Can we have a smoke?
Yeah. And, I mean, the stories, the World War One stories where they, you know, they bring out the soccer balls, you know, the British and the Germans. And they, like you said, they had an armistice.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, a cat that came between both lines and they each had different names for the cat, you know.
And it's like the cat was just walking around, and they're just trying not to shoot the cat. Don't shoot the cat.
Exactly.
It's
you know,
because there's still a heart inside of someone to not shoot the cat because it's a cat.
Right. Yeah.
Man, I understand that we need to be built up to fight, but be built up so much that we can be humble to not have to fight if we don't have to fight. You know, like train up to be humble. So you can just be like, hey, I'm right here. Don't poke the bear. You know, it's a bear. Yeah,
correct.
But people want to poke it. Right. And then we got to have like, we don't have just this just in radio coming back to you in 5 seconds with more information. Now it's just funneled into your cerebral cortex. We have nothing but this channel and Soft Rep Media channel, and all of our channels are out there just running into your brain with a supercomputer facing your eye, telling you everything going on in the world of everything today. It's not like then. And so today it's like, it gets so, I don't know, there's just so much more propaganda.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, and that's one of the, why I wanted also in the story to make the importance of the letters. The letters that were sent to the guys in the front and the guys that were supposed to write letters and sending them back home. But it's kind of like I saw some communication between my uncle and family members. And my grandmother was she was a tough lady. And she would like, why aren't you writing more? And he's like, well, I'm a little busy, Mom.
Yeah.
kind of a little busy. But I think, you know, what I included in the book, too, to your point exactly, Rad, is I want the person to read it. Obviously, the older people know. But the younger people, you know, you didn't know where your son was or your daughter. You know, if she was a nurse, an army nurse or what, you didn't know where they were. There was no, hey, I'm gonna call you on a little FaceTime here. You know, hey, let's see. You had no clue where they were. And that now people bombarded. They're at a dinner table out to dinner, they're each on, they're on a phone. They're not even talking to each other. You know, so the people need, you know, the youth need to understand they didn't know where their son was. So youth, you know, and in the book, I kind of say where, you know, they would go to a movie, and back in that time, the movies would show some clips of some of the fighting on the front, and, you know, the parents trying to see if they could see their son. You know, that I'm sure everybody did that, you know, that would go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, I saw a movie. I saw a movie where the guy had written, the soldier had written a bunch of letters home. Just writing home. How come no one writes back? You know, hey, how come? And then all of a sudden he gets them all back to him. They never even got home. His letters even got out to, you know, and that just psychologically was like, oh, no one even knew the letters. They like moved to the house and he doesn't know what's going on at home. The letters just came back, you know?
Exactly. He doesn't know.
It was like a mail call. And, like, mail call, Jones, here's your mail. And it was like his return mail. It's like, what?
You know, everybody was probably envious, and it's like, wow, look all the letters you got back. And it's like you said, returned mail. But it's, you know, and then they had to be careful because there's like some templates that are in the book. Because if you're in North Africa, or if you're in Sicily, or if you're in training, you know, amphibious training or something, you can't be, you got to be careful what you write. So they would have like these little templates where you would like check a box, you know, rather than say, you know, love, blah, 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 rather than say much because, you know, from a censor standpoint, you could be giving away, you know, the loose lips sink ships, you know, scenario.
Right. And like, what if the guy carrying the mail got taken out and they got his mail and you're like, mom, I'm behind a bunker right now. Like, oh, this is a fresh letter.
I mean, and to your point with the 24/7 news, 24/7 sports, 24/7 weather, everything is a, you know, oh, big news, big stop, top, flashing.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I remember, I'm, you know, old enough to remember when the programming stopped, this is a special news report. And like, all of a sudden you saw that the program stopped, chills would go down your because something major happened. Right. Now to your point, it's like breaking news and you're reading it. What? What's that?
Yeah, it's like just the same. It's the same stuff. They're like,
it's
just pumping it. It's so today. Like everything is just happening right now. And,
yeah.
And you can just say, oh, what's going on in Gaza today? What's going on in Ukraine today? What's going on? And to that point, I remember like back in 2009, I think it was like MSN Messenger was a little pop-up window we had. And it would pop up. You could talk to your friends, you know, and communicate back and forth through the laptops, et cetera, through that program. And my friend in Afghanistan, it was like 2 a.m. here, and he reaches out to me. Hey, you awake? I was like, I sure am. He's like, man, I wish I was home and playing war games with you guys. It's, I see more action in war games than I do here. But then when he came home, that's not true. But he was just saying, I miss you guys, you know, but just right there, it was like instantaneous. And he was probably bummed out thinking I miss home. I'm going to try to get online and see who's online. And here's Rad. He's like, hey, Rad, tell me how things are back in Utah right now. And I'm like, oh, well, what's going on, Solid? You know, a call sign.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, there have been some good movies that have dealt with that. I forget the name of it, but I remember it was like a 1946 movie. And, you know, when people came back, you know, because, like, people come back, everybody else is like, okay, the war's over. Great. Okay, Joe's back. Okay, you're the same guy that left.
Right, no.
You know, and Joe wants to meet with Jim, who he never knew Jim, but they both were over there. So there's a connection they have where others don't, you know. And then the wife's like, you know, why are you drinking so much? Or why are you?
Right.
So they
why are you chasing
they
demons?
Touched onto those.
Demons away, you know.
It's exactly. Like, what are you doing? You know, now that what people know today, and there's still more to do. Back then, it was like, what's wrong with
shell shock? They didn't want to talk about it.
If they saw the physical aspect, like he lost his hands, right. Why is he like crying in the middle of the night? Why is he screaming? Right. What's he yelling? What's wrong with my son? You know, I mean,
and maybe nothing's wrong with him, right? No, maybe nothing is wrong. Right. It's just emotions of a situation that I'm not coping with. You're not coping with. He's coping with. And so he is going to have the emotional tears, and it's not what's wrong with you. It's like, no, I'm normal. If you saw what I saw, you would too.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And those men never talked about it. You know, friends of mine, you know, we talk about in Granville, we grew up in a street full of, you know, today they'd call them heroes. Well, they were heroes back then. They were guys that survived the war. But, you know, they'd be walking around, working a gas station, work on a farm, you know, regular people. But they never talked about it. But as they obviously saw things that affected them. And I think the great thing with the Band of Brothers and shows like that, towards the end of their lives, they started to open up. Mm-hmm. And get some of that out. And even their kids didn't know, you know. Their kids could have been
Saving Private Ryan, like Saving Private Ryan. You know, it starts out.
Yeah.
He's old at the cemetery, and his kids are with him. And they're like, gee, Dad, are you okay? As he takes a knee, starts crying. And then it takes us right back into he's storming the beach. And, you know, they're puking on the patrol boats or landing craft. And his homie's scooping up sand and putting it in the thing, and it had Sicily and France, and now he has Normandy. Like what you were talking about, you know, that guy, you know, he's been all over those beaches, bro.
And he was a sergeant, too.
He sure was. And he just was like, where's my chew? Where's my gun? Yeah. And where's the sand cans that I got to carry all through this mission, man? Jeez. Right. You know, and it's things like this movie called The Hurt Locker. Jeremy Renner, I believe is his name. He got injured by a snowcat recently, but he plays an explosive ordnance disposal guy who's been in Iraq and all these other places just defusing bombs, and his life's at risk. He just walks up to it, flicks a cigarette, and just starts going to work on the wires. Everybody else will be like, ah. He just like takes the suit off. He doesn't even care. And then he comes home and he's in the grocery store, and they pan on him, and he's just like holding a box of like Lucky Charms at his legs, but no one's around him. He's just like staring. Like everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really? Do you know what's going on where I just came from? And here we are, you know? And so that's that same kind of shell shock you're talking about. He gets out, he comes back, and he's like, everyone's like, what's wrong with you? But as soon as he goes back, he re-enlists, and he goes back to his job. He's like, hey, let's take these wires apart. Yeah. You know?
No.
born and bred for that kind of lifestyle, man. There are those out there.
Yes, there are. And you know, it's, you were talking earlier about, you know, growing up through the years, there used to be, and you can still see it on YouTube, there used to be a show called Combat. It was like every week it was a squad, you know, that fought in France. It started initially, I believe it started with the D-Day invasion and then went into France. But that was an interesting show, you know, because it kind of, you get different characters and you got connected to the characters. And I think, you know, that's where Sully's squad, not everybody comes out alive. You know, it would be ridiculous to think that would. Different personalities. As we've talked a couple of times, and I'll bring it up a third time because I think it's very important. Both sides were, except for the fanatics, were thinking they were doing their what right. was best and right. And one of the characters in Sully's squad is Jewish, and his family left Germany because of what was taking place. And it's not trying to be annoying when I wrote it, but he would, if he saw somebody German, like a German soldier, he would ask, "Hey, anybody know anybody from Munich or something like yeah. you know, or something like that?" Because again, you're those people had to leave home. You know, it affected us here at Pearl Harbor, but you think about that, you know, in the mid-30s, you had people leaving Germany, leaving wherever, who didn't like what was going on, or then had to leave because their businesses were destroyed, or, you know, so they've been going through something several years that we just started at the end of 1941. Right. So it's kind of like, you know, having that, it was more to have, you know, how much you think about if all of a sudden you had to, in the middle of the night,
flee,
leave your right. home, flee. You know, and that's, again, I wrote it too for history purposes, it's kind of it's in three schools. I'm trying to get more, but it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily fit some of the narrative that's out there today.
It's a book.
It's a book,
and you should read it.
You know, but
read books.
Just read it. It's fast paced. Yes. It's but you know, it's telling history.
It's a show and tell book because, like I said, I already felt just from what I read about his father and just how he plucked his teeth with the pine needle and he just got the minty taste of it in his teeth. And I just know that, you know, Sully is doing what his heart tells him to do.
Yep. And
Artie, excuse me, Artie.
Artie. But also, and I'm sure there's people listening, I tried to also, when you give a command, and you know, like these guys said, he had to give a command as a sergeant, but he was there with them, you know. And sometimes guys don't make it back. There has to be a part of you that goes away. There has to be something. You know, you can't, okay, sirrah, sirrah, that's the way it goes. Yeah. No, you don't have that. I mean, some characters in movies in World War II, you know, that were focused on power, you know, maybe them. Yeah. But the average guy who's, you know, whether it's Army, you know, Navy, Marines, Air, you name it, didn't want to see any of those under his command get hurt, not to mention, you know, die.
Right.
And then if you make a decision, which Artie actually, as a private, had to make a decision one time under combat. And I'll let the reader read that part of
it.
But I think that's the other part, too. When we talk about people that come back, the memories. And like one older gentleman said, they never had a chance for a family. They, you know, he was like 80, 90 years old at the time. You know, he welled up tears and said, they're still their kid. I still see John as John at age 18, you know, and now look at me. I'm 80 years old, you know, and I've had a chance to live my life. Right. John never did.
No, the memory is always that of that person at that age. 100%.
Yeah.
100%, man.
Yeah.
What a great book, and what a good time for you to put it on paper and still stay in the healthcare business and not give up your daytime job. I know a little bit about a thing or two with you, so don't you worry. So that's good.
Yeah, I don't want to give up. Yeah, not giving up the daytime job.
No. But hey, if you're out there and you're thinking about, you know, and you're trying to brainstorm something at your studio or your production crew, reach out to Kevin Wilson and, you know, go read his book and see if it's a book that will make a great screenplay, and reach out to him and, you know, hey, that's how it happens, right? It just takes one person to get involved. And so we can find your book everywhere, right? It's all over. It's at all the major places and online, correct?
Yeah, it's on, with yourselves, and it's on, be on Amazon.
Amazon.
Yourselves. It's a book. And also the, it's got a Kindle version.
Is there an Audible?
I would love. No, but but I'm hoping one of the outcomes of this could do an Audible version of it.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
And I'm also working on a second. Kind of got stalled a little bit because you're doing this at night or maybe on weekends, and sometimes your mind isn't creative. You're thinking of work, and it's not like a 9-to-5 job, so sometimes it carries over, and also when you think of the second, what are you going to talk about? So I got to a certain point and I kind of hit a wall, and but I'm going to resume that, break that wall down and resume it.
Rewrite.
Well, I'm sure it'll be more. Yeah. I'm rewriting myself.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Back at it. Ting, tick, 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 rewrite me.
I know. Exactly. Well, that makes no sense. Delete. Yes.
No, wait, I need to stay here. Not delete me, just delete, start over.
Right.
Well, listen, I want to thank Guy, right? We have our friend Guy at SoftRep. He's our editor. Yeah. He's like, hey, Rad, you guys need to meet. And he brought us together. And I want to give a shout out to Guy. And I also want to give a shout out to Brandon Webb, who keeps SoftRep, just going with all of us, rowing along with him on this ship. So we really appreciate being on board. And I'm grateful to have this position to talk to, authors and rock stars like yourself, Kevin. Everybody just has such a cool story, and I love talking about it. So thank you for sharing your story and talking about Sully Squad, which you can find at Amazon. Thanks for allowing me to be introduced to Artie and his father with his pipe. I love it. And to your VFW friends that are on Main Street in Vermont and on the border of New York, thank you for your service. And on behalf of Kevin, this is Rad saying thank you for tuning into SoftRep. Check out our book club where you can find Sully Squad at softrep.com/book-club. And this is Rad saying thanks to everybody behind the scenes that helped me make me look good. So thank you and peace.
You've been listening to SoftRep Radio.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.